God is good. So in the month of January, we were really focusing on sharing the vision for Life Centre, and we spent most of the month sharing in the various home groups. The children were taught the vision of the church as well, in the kids club, the youth, so that we are reminded what the vision is. Now that we are in February, we're really focusing on how we step into the vision, how to actually do that. And the message today is change the way you think. Change the way you think. Try the other one. Is the other one better? Change the way you think. The scripture calls it to renew the mind. Some time back, I did a teaching in the church about the three parts that we are made up. You know that we are created in the image of God. And God is spirit. So we are primarily spirit beings. But he made us spirit, soul, and body. Everybody's very aware of their body. You know, if you trip over, your body speaks to you, ow. If you're hungry, your body speaks to you, give me food. So we are aware of our body. We are made spirit, soul, and body. The soul is a mind, a will, an emotion. It's the piece that makes up the person, but you don't see it. But it's the real person. Our spirit, when we are born again, our spirit is instantly made whole. Our spirit is instantly awake. Our spirit is instantly made perfect. All things become new. Yes? Are you born again? Your spirit is alive. When God looks at you, you are perfect. You are perfect. Wasn't your doing. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the price that Jesus paid for your salvation. So our spirits are made whole. But when you are born again, the next time you walk past the mirror, you had the same face, right? The same hairdo. So our soul and our body is a work in progress. So our spirit is made new, but it tells us about our flesh, our body. We need to crucify our flesh daily. You see? So that is a lifelong process of sanctification. If you think, if I think I've arrived, I'm really deceived. Yes, my spirit is perfect. So this is how, this is helpful and not to remind us how we are made in those three parts. And although our spirit is perfect, our body can be afflicted. We can be afflicted by disease. It doesn't come from God, but it can happen because we are in a contaminated world. We can be afflicted with depression. It doesn't come from God, but it can happen in this contaminated world. So remember, this is how we are made up. And today, I'm focusing about the soul and particular about the mind. Change the way you think, because how you think determines how you will be. Now, when God communicates to us, God is spirit, he communicates Holy Spirit in our, to our human spirit, spirit to spirit, because we are primarily spirit being. But our minds, God has made us this way. He's given us a mind for a reason. And a mind, if used the right way, is a powerful tool for the kingdom of God. But the mind has to be renewed. Jesus values your intellect in your mind so much that he paid a great price on the cross, that your mind would have the freedom, and you and I have the freedom to choose to think the way we want to think. He's paid a great price for that. God values your mind. He values your intellect. The key scripture here is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You'll be familiar with it, but let's dig into it today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's Paul writing. Who is he writing to? Brethren. In modern translation, we would say, come on, brothers and sisters. He's not writing to the Jews. He's not writing to the unsaved. He's writing to those that are brothers and sisters. So he's writing to those that are born again. That means he's writing to me and to you. This scripture is for us, the church. Do you get it? Because it says brethren. So it's for us. And then he says, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. God wants us to give him control over our bodies. You know, very often when we preach the gospel, we say, give your life to Christ. It's not really what the Bible says. The concept is there, yes. But actually here it's saying, Paul's saying, it's a reasonable thing for you to give your body in service for the Lord. It's absolutely reasonable. Why? It says, therefore. So if you go to the last verse in the previous chapter, 11 and 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Him being Jesus. For of Jesus and through Jesus and to Jesus are all things. He is our creator. He gave his life and he paid the price for our salvation. He's given us eternal life. He set us free. He's given us a spiritual inheritance. Paul's saying, come on, brothers and sisters. It's only reasonable because of the great price he's paid for you that you should surrender your body in service for God. We all feel that way, don't we? We love coming to church. Why do you go to church? Because you love God. And you love to worship God. We love God. He's done so much for us. It's only reasonable that we should serve him. Yes, we want to serve him. Those that are not saved, people out there, they look at us and they think, why do they, every Sunday, why do they go to church? Why do they bother going to the prayer meeting? Why do they give their tithes? People say to me in Melbourne, you're retired, you could enjoy your life. Why don't you just let it go? They don't understand. It's a reasonable thing to do. It's so reasonable that it's full of joy. We want to serve the Lord. Amen. Paul says, come on, it's reasonable. So our bodies, God wants our bodies to be given in service to him. And then he goes in verse 2 and says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. We are called to stand out. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Have you noticed when we go along with the crowds, they don't mind that you call yourself a Christian. They don't mind that you have your faith. But when you really stand for the truth that Jesus is the only way to God, and without Jesus, a default destination is hell. uh-oh, it's not popular. Not popular. But Paul says, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. We are bought with a price. We are not to conform. That's not our calling. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. We don't conform to the world. That means we don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't pursue the things that the world pursues. We don't follow the dictates of the world. We don't react like the world, and we don't love like the world. That's how Jesus lived. The devil had nothing on him, not even a tiny detail. And that's how Paul says, that's how we are to live. Don't conform to this world. Don't conform. The things of this world do not satisfy. Once we've tasted of the eternal life through Jesus Christ, you go back to the world, you'll not be satisfied. You'll be the most miserable person. Because once you've tasted the real thing, how can you go back? So we're not to be conformed to this world. So the Lord says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is where we think, how we think. Now, the natural mind, the mind without the Holy Spirit, is not neutral. This is probably a surprise, because we are sort of conditioned to think the natural mind, as long as it's not evil, is okay. But that's not what the scripture says. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. But it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So the natural mind works against God. The carnal mind works against God, is hostile towards God. It's the mindset of the flesh. But if we have a transformed mind by the Spirit, our minds are capable of great acts of faith. Great things can be done with our minds if our minds are transformed. But it's not the natural mind. But our minds can be instruments of God. Our minds can hear what God is saying. Our minds can grasp heaven on earth. Our minds can then be part of the transformation, bringing heaven down to earth and bringing transformation to other people and transformation to our community when we have a transformed mind. Because if we yield our imagination and our thoughts to the Spirit of the living God, our mind will be sanctified and it will become the ground whereby Holy Spirit can operate, and dreams and visions and things of the kingdom of God can flow when we have a transformed mind. It says that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I said in the beginning, this is relating to the vision of the church. The vision of the church is to help every person we are here to first help you find God, find freedom, find your purpose. How does a person find their purpose? That's what it says here, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's the purpose, your purpose in life. Every human being has a unique purpose. To find that, you need to have a transformed mind. our minds need to be transformed. We need to change the way we think, because we've been used to thinking carnal and fleshly thoughts. And when Jesus went out into the desert, he was tempted by the enemy. Through what? Words. Thoughts. So you think if Jesus got tempted, you think that we will escape? There's always three sources of the thoughts. Is it our carnal own thoughts? Is it our own thoughts? It could be the Spirit of the Lord, but it could also be the enemy. Because he comes like a lightning angel. He comes, he pretends, and then twists things to try and trick us in our minds, in our thoughts. Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith we understand. So faith is first, and then understanding. Where is the faith? If you look in your body, where is your faith? It's in your heart. Our faith is not actually in our mind. It's in our heart, because it's with our heart that we believe and then we confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? It's in our heart. So the faith is in our heart, and the scripture says that God's given every one of us a portion of faith, and it's in our heart. So faith is first, and it's in the heart. But so faith comes first, but then it says, by faith we understand. That faith then works into our thought life so that we understand. So first we believe in the heart, and then the mind comes, the mind runs behind the heart, if you understand it like that. I always remember years ago, we were in Denmark, and Rodney Howard and I were having these campaigns on, and we were going out with the gospel script. I went to the park, and there's a young man sitting on the bench. I'm thinking, target, I'm going to go and speak to him. Has anybody ever told you that God loves you and has got a wonderful plan for your life? He's like, I'm not interested in anything religious. I'm not interested. I carried on with the script and gave him the free scriptures. I said, would you like to receive this free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? He looked and he said, yes. So his initial response was his intellect, because he had a carnal mind, and he's saying, I don't believe there's a God. But then when he heard the word of God goes into the heart. And in his heart, Holy Spirit works. He said, yes. Why? God says every person has a measure of faith in the heart. Every person has. So that's a tangible illustration of by faith we understand, in that faith comes first and then understanding. Right? That's how it works. So the faith comes first and then understanding. But our minds, we don't always think the way that God thinks. His thoughts are way up there, and our thoughts are way down here. Right? That's why we need to change the way we think. And we need to repent from our old ways. Repentance is really changing the way you think. Repentance is changing the way that we think. Reconnecting with the perspective from God's perspective rather than our own perspective is changing the way we think. It's impossible to have a transformed life unless we have transferred thinking, new way of thinking. If we continue to think the way we did before we got born again, we will be totally carnal Christian. Paul talks about carnal Christianity. So it's not automatic that our way of thinking is changed, because otherwise he wouldn't talk about carnal Christians. And that's why he's writing and he's urging us, come on, he's saying, come on, this is reasonable, come on, change the way you think. Why? Because then you can actually demonstrate the will of God. You can demonstrate everywhere where you have influence, you can bring the kingdom of God and transformation elsewhere. I think most of us, this is the way I tend to be myself. When things happen, then, oh, God, come and resolve this issue. Then we come to God in prayer. But it's actually a reaction to what the enemy is doing. You know, you just need to open up for the news every morning and you think, oh dear, Lord, have mercy on us. So it's kind of like I live mostly reactive, but that was not the life of Jesus. I'm not saying it's wrong. Of course, it's good to bring these things to God in prayer. But when we are really honest with ourselves and we look at the life of Jesus, he didn't live like that. And he's our ultimate example. He was so connected with the Father. The scripture says he only did what he saw the Father do. He only said what the Father was saying. So he was in this perfect communion with the Father at all times. He was in the heavenly realm. His thoughts were in the heavenly realm all the time. Because the scripture tells us that the unseen world is the real world. The seen world that we live in, that our bodies are operating, is inferior. It's temporal. But that which is eternal is unseen. And that was the realm that Jesus lived as a human being, but his minds and his thoughts were constantly in that realm. And so we have the possibility through Jesus Christ to break through, to live in that realm and have our thoughts so changed, the way we think so changed, that we can live like he did. This is the aim, you see? This is why Paul is saying, come on, brothers and sisters, come on. Don't live like this world. Don't think like this world. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. This is a gradual process. It doesn't happen just instantly. But we need to change the way we think. When we were young, we used to get these little bracelets. What would Jesus do? Do any of you remember those days? So this was like to help Christians to say, what should I do? Should I go this way or that way? And then you look at, and you think, what would Jesus do? I think he would take that role. That's maybe a good thing to be reminded, and because we should take every thought captive. Scripture tells us take every thought captive and check it. Check it, is it of God or not? And if it's not, we kick it out. But we actually need more than that. We need more than that. We need the mind of Christ. There's this beautiful scripture, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to allow the mind of Christ to operate in us. But when I read this scripture, I feel such hope and faith arise. Because here in this scripture, it says you just allow the Spirit of God to come upon you, to have your way you think change. It is not, yes, we use our own effort. Yes, we take our thoughts captive. Yes, we need to know the Word of God, because to think the way that God does, we need to really read His book. But by the Spirit of the living God, we can allow the mind of Christ. Do you see that? It says, let the mind of Christ be in you. So we can allow that. It's letting Him in. That is beautiful. This is not just the discipline of the right thought, which is good, but this is living in the perception of the reality of the unseen world is the real world. And the temporal is what we see is not the real world. That is how Jesus lived. Faith functions out of the eternal. The renewed mind lives conscious of that all the time. God has a redemptive solution to every problem that we face. So to change the way we think, we need to live at that level, have our mind in the heavenly places, so that the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is kingdom thinking. That is the way that we want to be thinking, so that the problems remain small. When we meet a person and we look at their lives and we think, I have to admit, sometimes I look at a person's life, I think, oh dear, that's such a bondage. Oh, that's such an addiction. How is that? And you feel like it's hopeless. But that's not kingdom thinking. Because God has a redemptive purpose for every life. Every life can be transformed. Now, we know that. You know that. I know that, because when I ask you, how are you? You say, by the grace of God, I'm good, even though your back is killing you. Because you know your theology. So we tend to mostly say the right thing, but in our thoughts, this is where we are struggling. It's not that we have the wrong theology. We believe that God can raise the dead. Amen. We believe He can heal the sick. We know it. We have the theology. But we need to now change the way we think so that that overrules the problem that we see in our fellow citizens and the problem. But when we see them, we say, yes, God has got a great plan for this person's life. That is the way we want to be thinking. So it's not that we have the wrong theology, but it's our lifestyle or our thought life that needs to be upgraded.
Amen.
It needs to be upgraded. We need to allow the mind of Christ to come in. So my mind is set on the things that are in heaven. How do we do this? One of the ways is like this morning, when we hit that point in the worship where we're just calling on God and we're coming into the absolute presence of God. When we have encounters with God, this is what we need. We need the Word of God.
Amen.
Because that's our measuring pole at all times. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And yet we need more. We need to personally experience the power of it. Let me try and give just some examples. So Lisanna was at school at the time. There was a revival taking place in Florida. We were watching every evening, we were watching the revival on God TV. Every evening we were watching revival. And Lisanna says, I really want to go there. And we said, when you finish your exams, we will go. Now, when you go and you get into that atmosphere, well, atmosphere where people have been transformed and faith is high, the things that are difficult are suddenly easy. So Melvin had been over there once before. So he came back and he said, I figured out how we can get ourselves onto the ministry team. This is how we're going to do it. Because we were really desperate to taste of it. So he managed to get a badge, because at that point we were not the leaders of the church, you see. So Melvin got the armband to be in the ministry team, and I just tagged along, and they never find out. Why? Because we were desperate to taste of the power of God. And then before the meeting would start, they would go and do impartation and pray over us. And then we would be the ones in the meeting that night to pray over the people. And because the Holy Spirit was so thick and the presence of God was, it was just miracle after miracle after miracle. Now, we are the same people as when we were here in Scotland, where we would pray and see very little results. And then suddenly we are over there and there's, the blind eyes are opening. What's happening to the mic?
The battery's gone.
So what I'm trying to say is, as well as having the Word of God and having the Holy Spirit, we need to experience it. Because once you're in that environment and that atmosphere, where when you pray, people fall down and when they come back up, they're healed. When you see it over and over and over, the next time when you pray over a person, you are really expecting God to move. You are expecting results. But if you've never seen it and you've never experienced, the changing the way you think is really slow. But once you're in the atmosphere, but God is moving mightily, the way you think changes instantly. Because you realize, it's not me. I'm just a vessel. It's the Holy Spirit. Speak to Pastor Richard when he went to Mozambique. He's told you the story. And they brought the dead girl in. And he prayed over her. She came back to life. See, because he was in an environment where the faith was high and the presence of God. So we need to be in the presence of God. We need to experience the power of God. We need to have personal power encounters with God. It changes everything. It accelerates the transforming of the mind. When I grew up and I got born again, then I heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in that circle of people, this was all completely new. And so we would go and we would kneel down and pray and ask God and ask God and ask God and ask God. And I'm thinking, when am I going to receive it? When am I going to receive it? I didn't understand anything. But now, I know what the Word of God says. And if you're not being baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's going to happen for you. All you need to do is ask. Why? Because I'm now in an environment when I pray for people, I immediately expect them to receive, because it's the promise of the Father. It's the promise of the Father. It's black and white. There's no gray areas. And so we see people immediately receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be in that environment, and once you've broken through and you've seen it, your faith is at a different level and you think differently. This is what we mean when we say, change the way you think. Align it, feed on the Word of God, be in the Spirit of God, but also be in the atmosphere, the signs, miracles, and wonders. We are not aiming to be like another church down the road. We are aiming at what we read in the book of Acts. We are aiming at the New Testament church. That's what our aim is. Not something below that, just because maybe you've not experienced it up to now. Once you get the breakthrough, you will stay in that breakthrough. You will stay in that. So we have to push in. We have to pursue this with all of our being. We're pursuing God with all of our being so that our mind is less and less carnal and more we are operating at the heavenly realm level. Amen.
Amen.
Over to you, Melvin.
Hello, everybody.